There's a truth of our faith which is so foundational that at least once a year, I want to speak about it as clearly as I possibly can. Because it's so easy for us to get it screwed around. Are you ready? Okay. Christianity is not primarily about being good. Christianity is not primarily about being a good person. Christianity is primarily about belonging to God. Being good, living a moral life, is an essential part of our faith. That sin is real, and sin can be deadly, even unto eternal life. But being good is something that flows from belonging to God. That when we get those two mixed around, when we put the other one first, being good and then belonging to God, what you're living is not Christianity. You're living paganism. Because you're living a way in which I have to be good so that God can be pleased in me and I can belong to him. That's paganism. The Christian faith came and turned the whole thing on its head, in which the fact of our existence and the fact that comes through the sacrament of baptism is you belong to God, and in God's eyes, you are well pleasing to him. And everything we do in the faith, then, the whole moral life, our sacraments that we celebrate, everything is a response to that reality that you belong to God. You belong to God. Today we celebrate the baptism of the Lord. You can look. You guys can look, it's all right, with the stained glass window right back there, in which Jesus is baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. Jesus wasn't baptized for the same reason that you and I are baptized. He entered into the waters of baptism to transform those waters so that they, through faith, might transform us. For 1,700 years, the church has recommended to her faithful infant baptism, to baptize infants. There are many reasons for this. I want to give you just one. Follow me with your eyes back to the baptismal font. Because when parents bring their children to be baptized, they bring them into the church. I often wish they would do it in Lion King style, where they would come with their child like this. But when they bring their children, their infant, into the church, what they're saying through their actions is this. They're saying, this child of ours is a gift from God. And ultimately, this child doesn't belong to us, but our child belongs to God. And so they bring the child to present them to God, to offer them as a gift to God, knowing that in belonging to God and through this sacrament, only God can give them what they as parents cannot give this child. They gave the child natural life. Only God can give them supernatural life. Only God can give them eternal life. And so the parents come and they offer their child to God, recognizing that that child is a gift. And at the very beginning of the rite of baptism, the priest or the deacon asks a question, which doesn't really make a lot of sense if you think about it, just on its surface level. Do you remember the question that the priest or deacon asks? The whole rite opens with it. What name have you given your child? I always know ahead of time what name they've given the child. It's not a surprise. Because I had it written down so I don't screw it up. Why does the priest or deacon ask that question? What name have you given your child? God speaks down upon his son, Jesus. We hear the voice of God declare, "This is my beloved son." The child, we're asking what that child's name is, because God always calls us by our name. And this child is going to be offered to God now by their name. And God, when he speaks to us by our name, because our identity, the very core identity that we have, is as a daughter of God the Father or as a son of God the Father. That's who you are. Your identity and God calling you by that name as his beloved son, as his beloved daughter, is who you are. What's one of the next things that happens in baptism? The rite of baptism is it's the only sacrament that you don't begin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Instead, after the name of the child is asked, the priest or deacon and the parents and godparents claim that child with the sign of the cross. And we mark the sign of the cross on that child's forehead, saying, "This child belongs now to Jesus Christ. That is who this child belongs to. No one else. No one has power over this child now because Jesus Christ does." And this is important because we hear in the gospel the voice of God speaking. And he speaks the name of his son. "This is my beloved son." There's another voice as well, though, in this world. And it's the voice of the enemy. Whereas God always calls us by name, the enemy always calls us by our sin. He calls you by your sin. And where God speaks the truth of who you are and your true identity as his son, as his daughter, the evil one always speaks lies. And he calls you by your sin through that lie, either to falsely try and build you up and ultimately to tear you down. And so the evil one, the enemy, will call you by your sin. This lie of falsely building a person up, in which the evil one will say, "That sin that you're struggling with, that's not a problem. That sin is who you are. It's your identity." Does that sound familiar? That sin, that's who you are. That's your identity. But then ultimately, especially for those who are fighting and battling against sin, what the evil one will do is this. The evil one will say, as you're battling with sin in those times when you fall, "See, you don't belong to God. You're not worthy of God. You don't belong to God at all. And in fact, God doesn't care about you. God doesn't care about you at all." Whereas God says we're adopted by him as his sons and daughters, the evil one, he'll speak the voice of accusing us of being orphans, that you belong to no one, and that you are all alone. Because sin, for the evil one, is always a means to an end. The devil's ultimate aim is to completely isolate you from everyone and everything, even yourself. That is hell. And the evil one wants us to forget, wants us to doubt that we belong to God. Whereas what the sacrament of baptism does through it is we enter into this communion with God in which that is what you belong to at your core. And that, through the sacrament of reconciliation, that relationship is what's restored, and we remember that. That's what gives the grace It's that relationship of belonging to God being restored. And this desire of the human heart is at the very center of it. Think of every junior high kid. Isn't that the worst years of anyone's life, right? Junior high? Who here, their favorite years of their life was junior high? No one, because you'd be a liar. You'd be a liar. What is every junior high child, and it's not just them, that's where you see it acutely. What do they desire more than anything else when they're in school, when they're at home? They want to belong. I want to fit in. It's not just them. And through the sacrament of baptism, we enter into the life of God. We belong to Him. You enter into the church. You belong to this family. God chooses you in baptism. Our response is choosing all throughout our life is which voice are you going to believe? Which voice are you going to have faith in? The voice which says that you are alone, that you're worthless and no one cares about you, and you belong to no one and you never will. Or the voice which speaks to you and says, you are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. You belong to him.